Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome, boys and girls, to another edition of the FootballDiehards.com podcast. A little late today, but Skip Lacombe and Bob Harris are here for another Friday. Bob, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Skip. How are you? A little turkey hangover there?
A little turkey hangover, some technical difficulties, having to load up laptops, but we're here, because that's the dedication we have.
Tenacity, my friend, and you have it. There you have it.
Absolutely. It's that whole Thanksgiving hangover there. You really nailed it. Speaking of Thanksgiving, there were some games yesterday. Your thoughts?
You know, I'm not sure anything was really terribly surprising. I think, you know, you look at the Green Bay game. I mean, you know, I think, you know, seeing Matthew Stafford playing, that was the huge surprise of the game. Listed as doubtful before, obviously playing with the hurt shoulder, the left shoulder, not his throwing shoulder. Might as well have been his throwing shoulder, though, for the four picks he threw. Otherwise, though, pretty much what you expected. Aaron Rodgers had a big game. Donald Driver came through with a big game. You could see the difference Jermichael Finley makes, you know, even though he was not a huge factor in the totals. You know, he clearly opens things up for the other receivers down the field a little bit. For the Lions, they lost Brandon Pettigrew for the season. Looked like he had torn ACL. He'll have season-ending surgery. So they'll be stuck with Will Heller and Casey Fitzsimmons. Will Heller, kind of a little bit of a red zone threat for him. Calvin Johnson played with hurt. So, you know, all in all, other than the people playing, none of the performances were incredibly surprising. In terms of the Dallas-Oakland game, again, no huge surprises. Tony Romo came through, really solid game. Rushing attack, unpredictable. Tashard Choice had some big runs. Marion Barber, you know, carried the ball. Felix Jones delivered some big plays. Myles Austin came through. Jason Witten played despite a sprained foot and played pretty well. Had one of his better games, 107 yards, so on five catches, not bad. Gronkowski for the Raiders, quarterback, he threw a touchdown, and like Rich Eisen said, don't adjust your set. That was Darius Hayward Bay catching a ball in the end zone as opposed to dropping it. It was pretty impressive. Zach Miller, still the best receiver in Oakland, though, it looks like. Justin Fargas, Darren McFadden, Michael Bush split up the workload again in the rushing attack. That's going to be how it is going forward there. You're going to not have any predictability in either of these rushing attacks, I don't believe. I think, you know, it's going to be hard to start any of these guys. As far as the Broncos and Giants, man, what a horror show for the Giants. I mean, couldn't do anything. The Broncos ran the ball reasonably well with no Sean Moreno. He got a little dinged up. Brandon Marshall put up decent stats, didn't get the touchdown. But, you know, the Broncos moved the ball well, played reasonably well, and New York didn't. I mean, you know, other than Steve Smith pulling in his seven catches and maybe 71 yards, maybe making good in PPR leagues, nobody really delivered. And Brandon Jacobs, I mean, they just seems like they're running him on the wrong plays. You know, they've got him trying to run around outside when maybe if they drove him up the middle a number of times, he'd be a little more effective.
Yeah, it looks like Al Davis finally got his vindication with his speech for getting a touchdown, right?
Well, you know, if he wants to take it as that, he may. You know, I think he's still trying to get over the fact that his quarterback is sitting on the bench watching from the sidelines. We'll see how all that plays out. Again, the Raiders' offense is not something you should count on for weekly production, you know, unless you've got Zach Miller on there. You know, again, he's the most reliable threat on the team. And they'll sort all this out, I imagine, with a number of lawyers trying to figure out how much Tom Cable is or isn't going to get paid when the season ends.
All right. Well, since we are on abbreviated show, let's get right to the games that are coming up this weekend. First game we're going to go into is Panthers going to the Jets. Any injury notes we need to know from this one?
You know, we're in good shape injury-wise. The same old, you know, Jonathan Stewart, a little limited in practice. They're going to play well, and I would say, you know, the rushing attack is going to continue to be the focus there for both teams. The Jets, you know, they need to take some pressure off Mark Sanchez. The scary thing there is Rex Ryan says he's going to take a personal hand in the offense, pretty much a defensive coach, so you're wondering what he's going to do. But, you know, always good to have another cook stirring the pot when you have problems. I don't see anything turning around there. You know, Sanchez needs to make better decisions. When he does that, the Jets' offense will be better. Until then, Thomas Jones is the play there. For the Panthers, stick with that rushing attack. He'll do fine, too.
Both teams at 4-4, who do you expect to really see a good matchup this week and be able to explode?
You know, I think the Panthers have more upside to me. You know, I mean, you know, as bad as Jake Delhom has played, Mark Sanchez is playing now, and that's their problem. And, you know, they're having some problems on defense, too. Panthers have a little bit more injury trouble, but they're still playing reasonably well. I'm going with the Panthers.
All right. I want to go ahead and take a look at our next matchup. I'm working on a laptop here today, too, so I don't have anything the way I need to have it. Next matchup is going to be Browns at the Bengals. Are there any injury notes from this one we need to know of?
Yeah, we're going to have Cedric Benson. It's going to be a game-time decision again. He did practice a little bit today. He's got the hip problem. You know, they aren't going to feel any need to push him in, but I did hear he looked pretty good in warm-ups at Oakland last week. Even if he plays, Bernard Scott's going to see, is going to have a role going forward. It sounds like, pretty certain. So, and maybe even Larry Johnson. Although, if Benson is active, you wonder if they can keep all the backs active. That'll be a question for Sunday morning. Lavernius Coles also has a chest injury. He's questionable. I would expect he'll play. For the Browns, it's going to be all hands on deck. And hey, if the Browns have showed up against the Detroit Lions, show up every week, we'd all be quite happy. But I don't expect that to be the case. I'd be reluctant to start any Brown any game.
Yeah, and the real question going in with the clubhouse right now is Larry Johnson, if he's going to be able to really make an impact. What are your really thoughts on that from what you've seen so far? I think he's gotten two carries so far with him.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sold on him doing a whole lot as long as everyone else is healthy and contributing. Again, in a lot of these cases, if someone gets a couple plays, gets a hot hand, you're going to see him. But I'm not sure what kind of opportunity he's going to get, especially if Benson is active and is playing. I think they'll focus on Benson and Scott. That gives them a nice 1-2 punch, two different guys, more of a speed guy, more of a power guy. And I think we'll see that. Now, if Benson doesn't go, I think we'll start seeing more of Johnson. I think they're not afraid to put him in there. But, last week Bernard Scott was very productive, and I think, again, the hot hand held him in the game. If he was struggling a little bit more, we would have seen more of Larry Johnson.
All right, moving on to our next match, we're going to have the Colts at the Texans. I know there were some injury notes earlier in the week with Indianapolis. Have those been resolved at this point?
Yeah, everyone's cleared up. Everyone's pretty much probable. Peyton Manning having a little problem with a glute, as we all have at some point in our life. But he was able to practice today. Everyone got on the practice field. Reggie Wayne, both running backs, Pierre Garçon, all listed as probable. All will play as usual. The Texans, they're in pretty good health, too. Steve Slayton had a little bit of a shoulder issue earlier in the week. He's practiced the last 2 days. He's going to play. But Gary Kubiak today was talking like, hey, it's going to be a timeshare. We're going to see a fair amount of Chris Brown. I'm not sure why, because I was not terribly excited by what I saw of Chris Brown last week, especially, at the goal line where that's kind of supposed to be his domain, and he is certainly not the master of it. Doesn't seem to have what it takes to get the job done when it comes down to the short strokes there, if I might say. So, I think, Slayton is their playmaker there, and I think they'd prefer to use him, but we will see. They're trying to get that running game on track and any way they can. So if Slayton is not being productive, you'll see a fair amount of Chris Brown.
Is Indy going to be able to keep the perfect season rolling?
They're capable of it, but this is, if there's a game that they're likely to lose, then this is the kind of upset game, divisional game at Houston. I could see this being a loss, but I'm not predicting it. I think the Patriots are going to go quite a ways before they lose the game. Or the Patriots, the Colts.
The Colts. Yeah, we'll get to them later. what do you see in this matchup that you like?
I like the passing attacks on both teams. I'm a little bit laying off the rushing attack, but the one thing I will say is Joseph Addai, we've all got this perception in our head that he's not playing well. He's playing well. He's playing well, whether it's in the passing game, whether it's getting some scores in, hitting the end zone. He's been a pretty productive player, and I expect he will be. You shouldn't lay off him if you have him. And in terms of both teams, if you've got anyone involved in the passing attack, any of the top weapons, you got to feel pretty good about that going in. Andre Johnson, Matt Schaub, for Houston. If you've got Peyton Manning, Reggie Wayne, Dallas Clark, you've got to be feeling pretty good about those guys too.
All right, going to our next match, it's going to be Miami at Buffalo. What's the injury report say about this game?
The excitement level is low here. Injury is pretty much clean. Marshawn Lynch had a shoulder problem. Left the game last week with a shoulder issue. He's practiced all week. Didn't even see him on the injury report late in the week. So, if worst case, he's probable. I think, hey, we finally saw what the Bills were paying Terrell Owens to do. I'm not sure I would expect that every week, but saw enough last week that it's promising enough that you can keep him in your lineup. And Ryan Fitzpatrick obviously more willing to go down the field than Trent Edwards was. So that does make Terrell Owens a viable play. That game in Jacksonville last week was a huge game, and it does give you some hope and enough hope to play him going forward, especially against the Dolphins. They're not a real imposing secondary. So I would go ahead and play Terrell Owens. On the other side of the ball, Ricky Williams is going to be the man as long as he holds up in the backfield for the Dolphins, and that's going to be their primary weapon, you know, that rushing attack. They've got some problems on the offensive line, but seem to be healing up as the week progressed. Anthony Fasano could come back, but, you know, Joey Hanos and Corey Sperry have done a pretty good job at tight end for them. So, you know, I kind of would have avoided the passing attack there, stick with the rushing attack if I could, and maybe the other way around for the Bills right now. They're not running the ball very well, and they have horrible injury problems up front, and that's going to be an issue. Fred Jackson seems to me to be the better play than Marshawn Lynch, and maybe the Bills will start seeing like that and maybe compound that dynamic and make Jackson even more effective, but for now it's hard to rely on anybody in the rushing attack for Buffalo.
Yeah, Terrell Owens had some huge points on my bench last week. And on the other side of the ball with Miami, Chad Henne, talk a little bit about him and the type of ball he's been playing. Is there anything good about keeping him maybe on your bench on the side or as a backup to somebody in case somebody goes down?
You know, he's going to be on the field. I mean, that's the best thing you can say for him. And hey, they have some big play threats at wide receiver. I mean, you know, Ted Ginn, he can make big plays. And Brian Hartline looks like he can make some big plays too. So, you know, I'm not saying you should discard him, but, you know, he's obviously not a guy you want as your primary guy. Still young, still developing, and I really believe they're going to rely on the rushing attack as much as they possibly can and hope that Henne doesn't have to win them many games, which means not a lot of him going upfield. But, again, guys on that team are capable of making plays. So, you know, it's not like a disaster. It's not like you're relying on Brady Quinn or something.
So you wouldn't recommend having Brady Quinn even.
Yeah, you know, big game notwithstanding. I mean, would you really want to go into a game with Brady Quinn as your guy? I would much rather have a Chad Henne or any pretty much about 30 other guys ahead of him.
All right, our next matchup should be a real exciting one with the Seahawks at the Rams. Any injuries we develop from this one?
Yeah, you know, this is an interesting one because both the top backs for both teams, Steven Jackson and Julius Jones, are game-time decisions, so everyone will have to check in Sunday morning if they want to play him. I think Steven Jackson's a pretty reasonable play if he goes. He's got back spasms, hasn't practiced all week. Now, you know, Steve Spagnuolo, the coach there, isn't a big fan of playing guys who haven't practiced, but in this case, I believe he'll make an exception. They don't have Mark Bulger. They're going to be going with Kyle Bowler, quarterback, so that makes things even tougher for him. So, you know, they need their most dangerous offensive weapon they need in the game, and I think they'll try and get him in there if he all can. But that's going to be the big question there, you know. And, you know, the Rams passing attack, I don't know if you want to take any chances. You know, Donnie Avery's a good, maybe a deep play. Brandon Gibson has now moved up into the rotation, but I think he, you know, dropped more than he caught last week. I think he was targeted 17 times, caught 5. That's a little worrisome. Would like to see better, and don't know what he can do with Kyle Bowler at quarterback. So, and for the Seahawks, hey, you know, they're an up and down team. I mean, you're going to have good games from them, and you're going to have bad games. I would not want to have to rely on anyone in the rushing attack. You know, Justin Forsett 2 weeks ago racked up hundreds of yards, and the week after struggled with that. So. Tough call.
I think we lost Bob. Let's try to get Bob back in here. All right, looks like we got Bob back. Should we good, Bob?
Yeah, this will go down as one of our greatest shows ever.
I know, this is great. We're going to have to stay on an extra 5 minutes past the streaming time just to cover all the games. Talking about Seahawks and Rams, bottom line, I hope you don't have to rely on anybody from either of these teams.
That would be a fact.
All right, and our next matchup, we got Tampa Bay and Atlanta. Talk about any injuries from this one, Bob.
You know, Michael Turner is going to be a game-time decision. Jarius Norwood also listed as questionable. I believe he'll play. That could make things dicey for Snelling owners. You're going to have to watch for the game-time decision on that one to figure out what's going on. As far as the Buccaneers, hey, everyone's going to play, and you probably don't want to be playing any of them. You know, I mean, it's not going to be a good game, I don't think, for the Buccaneers. Could be a good game for your Falcons if you can get them on the field. If Michael Turner shows up, it's a horrible run defense, so that would work.
But bottom line, pretty much like the previous one, hope you don't have to really rely on anybody from either of these two teams.
You know, hey, if Michael Turner's up and running, you know, you can give him a shot. But it's, you know, man, do you really want to count on him for your production?
Yeah, if you have to make your final call and put all your eggs in the basket, too, you probably wouldn't want to make that one be the basket to put him in.
There you have it.
All right, moving on to the next one. We got the Redskins visiting the Eagles. Any injury notes from this one? Well, obviously someone on the Redskins side. Talk about them.
Yeah, we've got Clinton Portis, Liddell Betts out, Rod Cartwright's going to be your starting quarter or starting halfback. Reasonable play, I think. You know, he's going to be the feature guy going forward for the Eagles. No Brian Westbrook. Everyone else will be on hand. You know, I like the matchup for the Eagles. I think their passing attack is golden. Play anybody. I would play LeSean McCoy, too. I think he can be a playmaker, you know, pretty much no matter what.
All right, that'll go ahead and cover the early games, turning our attention to the late game. Should have a decent match with the Bears and the Vikings. Brett Favre should be able to continue his good streak, correct?
Yeah, and for the Vikings, we've got Adrian Peterson questionable. Looks like, you know, they'll call him a game-time decision, but it's due to illness, so I think, you know, the fact that he's ill today, he should be able to get up and running by Sunday morning, but you'll want to check back and make sure.
All right, what are your thoughts about the matchup?
You know, the Bears, they're going to have to throw the ball. It's going to be hard to run. They haven't run the ball well. Forte has been running poorly. He's better in the passing attack, and they're going to have to throw the ball, and that opens them up to the, you know, the problem they've had all year. Cutler could be an issue. You know, it's a bit of a problem. If he's throwing interceptions, they're going to struggle, and again, I mean, it's going to be hard to run. I personally think the Vikings are set to dominate this one. They've got all the offensive weapons. They've got the stout defensive front. I'd be wanting to play my Vikings and laying off my Bears.
All right. Well, that makes it pretty clear. Moving on to the next one, we're going to have Arizona visiting the Titans. Injury notes from this one, Bob?
Yeah, Kurt Warner looks like he'll play. He's listed as questionable, but he's practiced all week. Neil Racker's also questionable. He's practiced, too. They haven't signed another kicker. Tim Hightower would fill in if he's needed. For the Titans, there will be no Justin Gage. Hey, if you've got anyone in Arizona's passing attack, assuming Kurt Warner starts, and I will assume that, go ahead and play them. I would say Beanie Wells and Tim Hightower are both, you know, low-end running backs worth playing. And as far as the Titans, man, if you have Chris Johnson, you're playing him every week no matter what. And Vince Young, you know, I'm not saying I'd want to play him every week, but he's not that bad.
Yeah, he's certainly been impressing and turning some heads this year. Moving on to our next match, we're going to have Jacksonville visiting San Francisco. Andre knows from this one, Bob.
Everyone's healthy for this one. Isaac Bruce won't be playing. Look for that going forward, not so much due to injury as due to old age. It happens to all of us. Happened to me.
All right, what do you think about this matchup?
You know, I think for the matchup, I think, you know, hey, if I had to play anyone in this game, I want to play the Jaguars guys. I want Jones, Drew, and I want Mike Sims-Walker both in the game, both capable of scoring against pretty much anyone, as Sims-Walker proved against Darrell Revis. For the 49ers, hey, Vernon Davis is still a reasonable play, but they haven't been playing as well. Frank Gore is a must-play every week. But, you know, given my druthers, Jones, Drew, and Sims Walker are the players of note in this game.
All right, moving on to the final of the late games. My beloved Chargers will be hosting the Chiefs. Anybody injured on this game we need to know about?
I think we're all in pretty good shape. The Chiefs are going to have Jamal Charles, you know, as their primary back. Chris Chambers was a little beat up earlier in the week. He's been practicing. So I think it's going to be all hands on deck for them. And for the Chargers, you got bad rib for Vincent Jackson, but he made it back onto the practice field Thursday, and he'll play as usual. So pretty good matchup for the Chargers, I would say. You know, the Chiefs may be able to get something done offensively. Again, one of the teams I wouldn't want to have to rely on. If I did, it'd be Chris Chambers. It'd be Matt Castle. Jamal Charles is capable of making plays, but doesn't make them with consistency. On the other side of the ball, hey, play them all. Phillip Rivers should have a big game. Vincent Jackson had about 140 yards against the Chiefs last time they played. Antonio Gates almost unstoppable. You know, LT is even a recent, you know, I'm not a big LT guy, but I'd play him against the Chiefs.
Yeah, Chris Chambers actually going to play against his former team now. That's always exciting, too. Moving on to the Sunday evening games, we're going to have the Steelers at the Ravens. What are the thoughts on Ben Roethlisberger at this point?
That one's a little bit dicey. I think, you know, Roethlisberger was practiced all week, said he was going to play, and in the end, he according to sources, reports, NFL Network's Jason LaCanfora is reporting that he told Mike Tomlin today he wasn't sure and he'll decide tomorrow, and it kind of caught the Steelers off guard. They didn't sign a veteran. They didn't make any moves. They have Dennis Dixon behind him. He'd get to play if, you know, Charlie Badge is out, injured his wrist last week. So, boy, it's all going to hinge on Roethlisberger. And, you know, that's a tough matchup for a guy with going in, you know, worried about taking blows to the head. I think either way, whoever is at quarterback for them, is they're going to run the Steelers are going to run the ball. They're going to need a Rashard Mendenhall to have a big game. And, you know, the Ravens, tough defense, but not impenetrable anymore. So Mendenhall is the play in this game on that side of the ball. On the other side of the ball, Ray Rice remains the best play of all. The passing attack for Baltimore has struggled. Joe Flacco's in a little bit of a slump. You know, you can still play guys like Derek Mason. You can still play guys like Todd Heap. But, you know, to rely on them for consistent weekly production is getting a little tough.
All right, and finally, in the Monday night game, one of the marquee matchups for the weekend. Everybody's been excited about this game as the Patriots travel to New Orleans to play the Saints. Everybody healthy in this one?
Yeah, we've got pretty good health. Reggie Bush, a little bit dicey, I guess. Looks like he'll play. Lance Moore is the biggest question. He hasn't played for a number of weeks, may not again, so it really hasn't been missed. Robert Meacham has come up and really filled in as that third receiver really nicely anyhow, making a lot of big plays. On the other side of the ball, Sammy Morris could come back. He'll be a game time decision. He was close last week. He'll be closer this week. Julian Edelman did not practice today on Friday, but it sounds, you know, he's played the last two games, so I'd expect he would. And hey, if you got guys in this game, get the Monday Night Mojo out, play them all. You know, Lawrence Maroney, I'm playing. You know, for the Patriots, I'm playing, of course, everyone in the passing attack. Maroney's been playing reasonably well last few weeks. He's had some fumbles, but he's been a decent play. And on the other side of the ball, you can't leave a stain on the bench. I don't care who they're playing. So, if you have anyone in the passing attack, any of the top two guys in the rushing attack, you don't want to wait. You know, you might, if you have Reggie Bush, you may want to look at your other options, you know, in case something comes up and they hold them out. But this is a very big game. Everyone who can play will play.
Yeah, this is kind of one of those coin flip games where either one of these teams could do really well, and pretty much you need to start anybody who's going to.
My big prediction will be the Saints remain undefeated.
All righty, well, that's pretty much it for one of our better shows we've done here on the FootballDiehards.com podcast. Be sure to continue to check the flash update heading through Sunday's games. That way you need to know if you make a last-minute decision. Anything else you want to hit on, Bob?
We'll do better next week.
Yeah, we'll get things back on once we get all this turkey out of our system. But until next time, me and Mike Jones will be joined on the Wednesday waiver wire report. This has been the FootballDiehards.com podcast.